Kansas dust. What do you think of Kansas dust? Is it an annoyance? Is it a worthless part of our lives? I've had people telling me that I need to wash my truck. And indeed, I do need to wash my truck. Any of you who live on a country road, dirt road, you know, you wash your vehicle and guess what? You know, you drive to town and it's dirty again. Kansas dust, annoyance, a painful part of our lives. Well, in the second century, there was a rabbi, well-known rabbi by the name of Eliezer. Eliezer the rabbi went to the synagogue, as he did every day, to debate with the other rabbis and to talk about theology, etc. Eliezer had a great day in the synagogue. He had debated with his fellow rabbis, and he had quoted numbers of scriptures that fit perfectly with his point of view. And all the others were well convinced with what Rabbi Eliezer had to say. So the rabbi left the synagogue, got on his donkey, and was headed home. He rounded the bend in the road, and what he saw was absolutely shocking. He saw this extremely ugly beggar in the middle of the road. Well, the beggar recognized Rabbi Eliezer and got down on his knees, and he said, "Peace be upon you, Rabbi." However, Rabbi Eliezer was so stunned and shocked by how ugly this man was. He said, "Raka, how ugly you are! Is everyone in your village as ugly as you are?" And this extremely ugly man said, "Well, I don't know. But go and tell the craftsman who made me how ugly I am." And immediately Eliezer realized his sin, got off his donkey, fell on his face, and asked the forgiveness of this extremely ugly beggar. There was also another rabbi, first century rabbi, a name that we will recognize more quickly, a rabbi by the name of Jesus. And Jesus was in the synagogue, as he did regularly, even as Rabbi Eliezer did, and was in the synagogue teaching and offering his instruction and his words to those who were there. And one of the Sadducees, or Pharisees, stood up and said, "Teacher, to whom should we pay taxes?" And Jesus said, "Well, can you give me a coin?" And this Pharisee or Sadducee, whichever one he was, reached into his cloak and pulled out a coin. And just a bit of information, you know, on that coin was a picture of Caesar, the king who called himself God. And guess what? His image was not supposed to go into the temple and the synagogue. But you know, this Sadducee, Pharisee, whichever it was, had it in his pocket and he brought it up to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Well, whose picture is on this?" "It's Caesar's." And you know what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's." So this brings us back to the question of Kansas dust. What do you think of Kansas dust? And Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "Then the Lord God did what? Formed the man." How? Out of dust. The Lord God formed man out of dust and breathed into him the breath of life. And God said, we're creating man in our own image. Folks, what's the value of dust? Each of us have been created in the very image of God, out of the dust. That's an aggravation, often. But we need to know who we are. We need to know what God has done and what God does and what God can do. So I ask, what is the value of Kansas dust? And what is the value of the dollar or the penny? The coin that has the picture of some leader on it. What is of greater value, Kansas dust or the dollar? In the image of God. In the image of God. In the image of Caesar. So we, folks, have been created in the image of God. God's image is stamped upon us. He breathed into us his own breath, the breath of life. And yes, we need to honor those who are our leaders, and we need to pay our taxes. Jesus says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. So, one of the things that gets talked about a lot is the sanctity of life. We believe in the sanctity of life, don't we? And as we should. God created us, breathed his own breath into us. We are special. That very ugly man is special. Now, I was thinking that I might do something this morning, and I think I'm going to. Is Poppy there yet? Poppy, would you come up? I'd like you to come up here with me for a little bit. Ah, hi there. How are you? Good? You know, Poppy, you have said on a couple of occasions when I've heard that you're somehow different than the rest of us here in the church. How is that?
Because I'm new.
Because you're what?
New.
New?
Yeah.
Is there another reason why you think you're a little different than us?
Because I'm brown.
Because you're brown.
Like chocolate.
Like chocolate. Yeah. I don't know if you've been hearing what I've been talking about, but what do you think God thinks of you? Does he think that you are as special and as good as us who are maybe a little more white than brown? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. That's right. God thinks that you are just as special because God created you and breathed into you just like he did the rest of us. So you are special and God loves you, even though you maybe look a little different than the rest of us. God bless you. You may go back. Thank you. We have been created out of the dust. God has breathed into us. We are special. How does God feel about you? How does God feel about you? There are times in our lives when we look at ourselves and we think, oh, you know, who am I? I'm nothing. Folks, brothers and sisters, each one of us has had God breathe into us life. We are created in the image of God. Every person, no matter what color, no matter what size, no matter what intelligence, is loved by God. The homeless, the immigrant, the Jew, the Muslim, even those who are murderers are in prison. His image, in His likeness, by the very breath of God. If that's how God feels about us, what difference does that make? How are we to feel about each other and those others around us? Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 7, we read these words of Jesus. It says, "Do not fear those who kill the body. I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Fear not. You are of more value than the sparrows." Did you listen to Randall's reading from Ecclesiastes? Very interesting. You know, talked about being dust. But it talked about being like the animals. Now, you know, I hadn't remembered quite how that was stated. And I think sometimes people think that animals are as valuable as humans. And I don't often think that. But that scripture talks about the fact that we're all alike. And when we die, we're all going to die. And we're all going to do what? Go back to dust. So, we are more valuable than even the sparrows. And as I was preparing this and reading that scripture again, I had to think of my teenage days when I was in ag at Chapman High School. And one of the things that we did in ag was collect points toward some prize. And so one of the ways we collected points was to bring in the heads of sparrows and starlings. So guess what? I had a BB gun as a kid and I killed lots of sparrows. And to read that God cares as much about the sparrows, well, yeah, as much about the sparrows as He does me, but I'm even more important than the sparrows. What's the value of dust? God, the creator of all that is, the creator of us. So how are we to feel about that ugly person? How are we to feel about those persons who are different than we are? We're to give our allegiance to God because God's image is stamped on us. It's like we're God's coin. That what do we do with it? We give it back to God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to worship Him. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. Because we believe that. Because that's what we want to do. We want to worship the God who is our Creator. And then pay taxes to Caesar. And we sometimes don't think that that's something we want to do. Which this time of year we all are faced with that. And have to write our checks out to the IRS, etc., etc. You know, sometimes when people complain to me about that, I say, well, you know, look at the roads. Guess what? My tax dollars go to make roads that make it easier for me to live. And there are many other things where our tax dollars go. And of course, right now, in the government, we're trying to eliminate expenses that shouldn't be there. We're trying to maximize our dollars in whatever ways we can. But taxes, yes, we pay our taxes. What is it that God wants of us who are stamped in His image? What does it look like for us to pay back that image that God has placed in us? Kansas dust. It's very valuable. So I want to look at a number of scriptures this morning. And I'm going to read some sections that are going to talk about how God looks at us and how we need to be looking at God's special creation. Luke chapter 19 is a story that Pastor Matt preached a sermon on sometime in the last month or so. And it's the story that we're so familiar with, Zacchaeus. And as a kid in Sunday school, we sang the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. And Pastor identified the fact that Zacchaeus, as a tax collector, was one of those people who others looked down on and actually hated. But what did Jesus do? Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I need to come to your house. I want to eat with you. Jesus saw and acknowledged the importance of someone that everybody else hated. Luke 19, it says, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. How important are we? How important are you? Doesn't matter who you are. Why did Jesus come? Because God loves you. You're special. And he sent his son to seek us and save us and offer us salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And I'm going to go to a number of scriptures. If you want to follow, you can. Unlike Pastor, I have not developed the ability to put things on the screen, which is shame on me. But, you know, sometimes we use excuses of age to not do things, and I'm guilty. I'm sorry. So, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 to 6. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And here we have it, Paul, or this letter to Timothy, the reality of how special we are and what God has done to come and to bring us salvation. And again, the importance of our praying for our leaders. And why? Why is that important? So that we can live peaceful lives. Then I'm going to jump to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 34 to 40. Chapter 22 and verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is it his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor, from that day, did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. God is our Creator. He's breathed into us life. He has implanted on us His own image. We pray for each other in relationship to physical things. And like I've said, it's amazing to me how God has created us to heal. I'm about to get a new hip. April 2nd, I go under the knife and they cut out the old hip and give me a new hip. It's amazing. God has created us to heal. This is the God who has breathed in us His own breath, placed His image on us. He's the God of all creation. Do we understand how wonderful and special our God is? Do we worship Him? Do we honor Him as the Lord God? Now I'm going to read a longer passage. It's from Isaiah 58. And this passage I'm going to read now is one that I encourage you this next week to read it every day and to just ask God to allow it to soak into your hearts and into your minds to think about what God is saying here in Isaiah 58. So listen carefully. And I'm going to try to emphasize certain things as I read. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. Listen, okay. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. What's happening here? There's a people who, it seems like, are wanting to honor God and wanting to serve God. And we go on. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? Margaret and I recently have had conversations where this verse has challenged our conscience and have asked ourselves, would we be willing to bring the homeless into our house? That's what God says. When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually to satisfy your desires in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. For your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, Then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What do you think of the Bible? It's God's word. What does it say to us? What is God saying to us here? I encourage you to read that and spend some time thinking about that and what that may mean. And then I want to go to James chapter 2 and reading verses 14 to 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by his works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. I encourage you, as you read scriptures, as you go home and read through Isaiah 58, slowly asking God to speak to your heart, to listen. What is God saying? What is God saying? As we come to scripture, first of all, we ask that question. What is it that God is saying here? What's God want me to know? And then we ask the question, why? Why does God want me to know that? Well, because God loves us. He has created us, breathed his own breath into us. We are no longer just dust. We're living beings stamped with the image of God on us. Why does he tell us these things? Because he wants us to live in a way that is evidence of his love, and he wants us to honor him. So what then do we do? And that's the question where the rubber hits the road. So we may know what God's saying. We may even know why he's saying it. But then, as James says, without works, it's all dead. Without doing, without taking action, it's all worthless. So we come, we worship, we honor the Lord our God, we give him praise, give him glory. What is it that he most wants? He wants us to act, to do, to love. What does that look like? It looks like life. And it looks like acknowledging the precious reality of life in all those around us. So whether it's Poppy, or whether it's a neighbor next to you, or whether it's someone across the water somewhere, we are to love and care and give. So what's the value of Kansas dust? Great value. Frustrating at times. We see the harvester. And nowadays, They have these cabs that you can sit in and you don't even know what the dust is like. When I was a kid, we ate it all. Kansas dust. In the hands of God, all things are of tremendous value and are precious. And we need to realize that and live with the reality of that. We're going to close today with a hymn that speaks of this. It's number 463. It speaks of the doing, living for Jesus. Stand with me as we sing.